All right, welcome to another episode of Piecing It Together, the podcast where we take a look at a new movie and try to figure out what movies inspired it. And today on the show is one of our monthly special trailer roundup episodes where we take a look at trailers for 10 movies, actually a bunch more this month. And Jason Harris from Awesome Movie Year joins me and we try to guess what these movies are going to be, what they might be influenced by just based off the trailers. And then once they come out, we'll see. Maybe we'll cover some of these and see if we were right. But we have a great conversation coming up with a lot of really great looking movies coming in the month of November. So that's coming up here in a second. Before we get to it, I do want to remind you, as always, to make sure you're subscribed to Piecing It Together, wherever it is that you listen to podcasts. And of course, if you like the show, rate and review us 5 stars. You can also follow us on social media at PiecingPod. And I want to let you know, I've told you about our Patreon before, the Produced by David Rosen Patreon that combines bonus content from Piecing It Together and advanced content, as well as bonus content from Jason's Awesome Movie Year podcast and stuff from my music career. Right now, there's a bunch of advanced episodes of Piecing It Together on there, so this is actually a really good time to check it out. If you've been thinking about signing up for the Patreon, we've got a bunch of episodes that are just waiting for a good slot to release on the main Piecing It Together feed. So, you know, check it out. Plus, I'm going to be posting some stuff from my new album, more content, in the coming weeks. So, yeah, check it out. Patreon.com/bydavidrosen. Now, with that said, before we get into the conversation, we have to take a look back at our October episodes and list off some listener puzzle pieces, which we got a lot this month. So thank you to everybody for writing in. It's always so exciting when you guys write in with your own puzzle pieces. So first up, Emily the Criminal, Broken Brain, who was on my Beast episode, brought up the Vince Vaughn telemarketing movie, The Prime Gig, which I never saw and I kind of want to see now. I looked it up and it sounds pretty damn interesting. So yeah, that sounds like a cool one. Speaking of the Beast episode, Joe Cox over in the Popcorn and Puzzle Pieces group brought up The Shallows because of how relentless the shark is in that. And then, you know, compared to the lion here. So that definitely makes sense. Great piece there. For Deadstream, Pete Abeda brought up Gonjiam Haunted Asylum. I'm not sure if I'm saying that right. I've never heard of that movie. I don't know what that is, but that movie Deadstream is insane. So I'm sure Gonjiam Haunted Asylum is also insane. Smile, Two Peas on a Pod podcast, brought up Watching the Ring while riding through It's a Small World. And yes, that is a really great description of what Smile is. So thank you for that one. I really like that. And then the last episode that we got some listener puzzle pieces for, this is the most we've ever gotten for anything. I don't know what that means, either that there's just so many things that can be brought up for the movie Barbarian, or that people loved it or hated it and wanted to bring up things to compare it to. I don't even know, but it's exciting that so many people had suggestions. So first up, Ben Yonker over in the Popcorn and Puzzle Pieces group said, The Shining meets Home Improvement. And I see where he's going with that. I love that. William Rails said Wreck. And I've never seen Wreck, but I know of its reputation and how insane it is. And I think I can imagine exactly where he's going with that one. Manish said Room, which I can absolutely see as far as, you know, the fucked up shit that's happening in that basement. Chad Clinton Freeman, our buddy Chad, brought up Gone in the Night, The Woman, and Dead Shack, which I have never heard of any of those movies, but Chad knows some really weird movies. He also brought up Parasite, the Oscar winner, which, yeah, sure, there's some weird stuff happening in the basement, so why not? Let's go with that one. Joe Black, who has been on the show plenty of times, he brought up that at the end of the episode, me and my guest, Jay Horton, we were talking about how there's some kind of movie where a newly introduced character goes through this awful thing that we, the audience, already know about, and we couldn't think of a good example of it. Joe brought up Death Proof, Quentin Tarantino's Death Proof, and that's a great example of that. So that may have been what we were thinking of when we couldn't. It was right at the tip of our tongues, you know what I mean? And I think that's a good one. That would have fit there perfectly. And then last up is Pete Abeda again. Had a bunch that he sent in. Alien Resurrection because of the creature. Dread and Raid Redemption, but in reverse, he said. Mortal Kombat for the arm fatality, which, yes, anytime I could bring up Mortal Kombat on the podcast, I'm down for that. And the British royal family for the generational inbreeding. Absolutely. I love every once in a while bringing in a non-movie puzzle piece, so why not? Let's go with that. So, as always, thank you everybody for listening, and thank you for sending in these puzzle pieces. Anytime you're listening to an episode of Piecing It Together and you think you've got some puzzle pieces that we didn't bring up, I would love to hear them, and I will read them on the next trailer episode, so get in touch. And with that said, let's talk about some November movies. Jason Harris is back with us to talk about some movie trailers. Jason, how's it going?
Dave, so many trailers, so many movies.
It's a stacked month, Jason. Jason's still in Halloween spirit, I think. He's all dressed up, all cozy, and he's making noises and voices and stuff.
I mean,
and
we do have an episode of The Shining that may or not have been released at this point in time when this goes out. And maybe I am turning into the Jack Nicholson character right now by watching all trailers and no movies make Jack a dull boy.
Does that make me Danny, or does that make me Shelley Duvall?
You've always been the Shelley Duvall type in Hey, she's fair. Coming back. She's in a horror movie coming back.
That's right. Cool. Maybe we'll be talking about that on one of these episodes
sometime. Yeah, we like that.
All right, let's take a quick look back at the movies that we covered on our October trailers episode. We talked about Mr. Harrigan's Phone, which I did not watch. Did you watch that one?
You know, this is the theme of the year. You know, we knew the short story was cool and like, or was supposed to be good, and then the trailer looks good, and then everyone watches it, and it's like, it's nothing great. And then it's like, there's so much to get through. How is that going to cut through the noise for us? Because we're busy guys, Dave. We're
that
busy,
is right.
busy guys.
That busy. Is absolutely right. Very busy. I was also too busy for Lyle Lyle Crocodile for other reasons, but I kind of wanted to see at least the scenes with Javier Bardem. Maybe I'll fast forward it once it hits streaming.
I don't know if you've heard, but Lyle Lyle Crocodile and Sonic the Hedgehog, hot new Hollywood couple.
I would watch that movie, I'm telling you right now. Next up is Hellraiser, which we did cover here on the show. It was good, wasn't great, but we had a good time talking about it. I'm taking it you didn't see. I know you didn't really think it looked too good.
I've still never seen any Hellraiser. I've been catching up on stuff, but not that
Watch
one.
The original. The original is so good.
Yeah.
Halloween Ends. Look, I'll just say, we didn't cover it on the show, but not as bad as some people made it out to be, but also not good. I don't know. You didn't watch it, did you?
Everyone says it's trash, Dave.
Yeah. It's not good, but I think I've kind of warmed up to it. At first, I gave it a really bad review on Letterboxd. Jason, you want to plug your Letterboxd?
Go for it, Jason.
There you go. But I've kind of warmed on it a little bit. Still not good, though. Next up, The Curse of Bridge Hollow. I've actually seen a few people logging it on Letterboxd and saying that it's kind of fun. I haven't watched it. Did you?
Yeah, I watched this one. This was the first Halloween movie Scarlett and I got around to this year.
Nice.
I like the setting, the whole town. And Marlon Wayans is funny in these movies and everything. Rob Riggle, who played at my trivia the other night. Rob Riggle, fan of the trivia party. Check out the trivia party when in Vegas. Follow us on Instagram. But anyway, you know, it's got, and Lauren Lapkus, like fun actors in it. But then like story-wise, they're like, okay, let's do this, but also do this. And then we'll just explain how these two don't work by saying they do work because we've explained it, you know? So it's not great, obviously, but like it's fine. It's fun. You know, I'm going to watch a Netflix Halloween movie every year, I think.
Yeah, fair enough. Next up was Bitch Ass, which looked ridiculous. I don't think it actually came out. Maybe it did. Maybe it's on some VOD platform, but it certainly didn't make any noise.
Maybe it's not even a real movie, Dave.
It might not be. Strangely, though, our next one, White Bird, A Wonder Story, which I don't understand why it was coming out in October to begin with. This made no noise and was supposed to be like a theatrical release and everything. I don't think it came out And I didn't research this ahead of time. I probably should have. What happened to this movie? It was big advertisements in the theaters and stuff. It is definitely not playing by us.
And we have another movie with the word wonder in it this time around. I don't know who was asking for this one last time?
Yeah, that is a good question. Next up is Black Adam, the big DC superhero movie with The Rock. I did watch it, and we have an episode coming on it. It's really dumb, but I don't know. I had fun with it. It's a Rock movie.
Nobody likes it. Critically, it made a lot of money commercially.
Yeah, which is to be expected. Next up, Ticket to Paradise, which I've heard is very good. I have not gotten around to seeing yet, though.
I haven't heard it's very good. Who are you talking to?
I don't know. I've seen a lot of people saying that it was like good, maybe not very good, but a solid return to, you know, those kinds of rom-coms.
I would like to watch it, but then again, I'd like a girlfriend to watch it with, so I'm over too.
Yeah, there you go. Last one just came out, so I haven't gotten a chance to watch it yet, but also hearing really good things about The Good Nurse.
I watched
it. Came out. Oh, you did?
I watched it, yeah. I watched it. Strong performances, but a lot of kind of just taciturn procedural stuff where it's easy to get bored with, so it's all right. I think their performances are the best things in it, but yeah, it's just all right.
Man, I did not do very good. 3 out of 10 for me. But
was that where I was this time, or was I at
two? I think we tied. Usually I'm way ahead of you, but
you stink this month.
I stink. All right, let's move on to November trailers. We got a lot to talk about here. First up is The Wonder, which will be in limited release on November 2nd in theaters and then hits Netflix on the 16th. It's about a woman, I believe is a doctor, played by Florence Pugh, who is brought in to examine a religious family's claim that their daughter hasn't eaten in 4 months and is living off of, I guess, religion or something. Manna from heaven. That's right. It's based off a best-selling novel from the writer of Room. It looks like it's, at least an attempt at like a big end-of-year type movie from Netflix.
Right. And you got not just the Florence Pugh character, but that other character, and they're watching this girl on shifts to try to figure it out, and they're in this like very remote, rural, British setting, maybe, or who knows what countryside they're in. Yeah. But it looks good. I mean, you know, we say it every month, but I was excited. The setting and taking shifts, Dave, you're going to be happy. I immediately thought of The Lighthouse right off the bat what's more than meets the eye. And then I liked The Exorcism of Emily Rose for those kind of religious beats that you can't explain, and then the religious fanaticism of people questioning their religion. First Reformed, Paul Schrader.
First Reformed, very good one there. I went for my religious puzzle piece. I went with Scorsese's Silence, another underappreciated religious epic, but a different kind of story, but a lot of crisis of faith going on and all that. My other piece, though. The Kevin Spacey film K-Pax, where he claims to be an alien and maybe he's telling the truth, but, how can we really know for sure? Seems like, this looks like an interesting movie, but I have a feeling we're not going to, get to the bottom of anything. At least that's the idea that I got from the trailer. We'll see.
My brother and I, we used to always pretend, if there was a title of a movie, that someone would have dramatically say it in the movie. So at one point, we just looked to the sky and went, K-Pax! And then a friend of mine from college was like, I saw K-Pax, and I was waiting the whole movie for someone to look to the sky and yell, K-Pax! And it never happened.
That movie would have been way better if that happened.
Yeah, that's true.
Next up on November 4th on Prime Video is My Policeman with Harry Styles. I believe his first starring role performance. He's been in a bunch of movies, trying to make inroads into acting. But this is a big star-making performance for him. About a love triangle that unfolds over many years.
He's about to get some of that watermelon sugar.
He sure is. Yeah. I don't know about this one. I didn't really think it looked particularly good, but I mean, they're certainly going to try.
Yeah. This is another one of those hey, I'm a masculine guy in another time and I can't fuck another masculine guy in another time without secrecy. Right. So we're doing that thing again. So, you know, Brokeback Mountain is the obvious one. And then, you know, I felt, was this Irish or British? I couldn't tell again.
Right. I don't know. I we're going off trailers alone here with these trailer episodes.
It had that very serious feel of Normal People and The Weight of Love, which I liked. And obviously both those stars have gone on to big things this year.
Sure. Absolutely. I went, you know, you've got like the lifelong romance between these people with various ages. So I thought of The Notebook. And then the other one I thought of is The Dreamers with Eva Green and Michael Pitt. And I forget who the third person was, but, you know, like the whole thruple thing going on with the, you know, multiple people. So,
I mean, this trailer did not, like, I'm for any type of storytelling, but this one didn't really grab me by any ways. Unlike The Wonder, which was a very gripping trailer, I thought.
Absolutely. Next up is Causeway, which will be on Apple Plus on November 4th, as well as limited theatrical release, and is the return of Jennifer Lawrence after not doing really much of anything in the world of acting in the past few years.
Jennifer Lawrence, Paperboy from Atlanta.
Yes.
Who, man, that guy is, he's doing a lot of like really good stuff, but he's about to be a huge star, I feel like. He's shown a lot of range.
A lot of things. I agree.
But I watched this and I'm like, is there another trailer? They tell you very little
right,
about anything.
Right.
All I could really
it does feel like a teaser. It feels like a very small little, just a bite. But for a drama, you wouldn't really expect a teaser then a trailer. But
right. So I mean, to me, it felt like one of those like, I'm going home to my hometown, but I don't want to go home, or there's shit I got to take care of at home. Mm-hmm. That's all I really got from the trailer. So, I put The Skeleton Twins. Do you remember that movie with Bill Hader and Kristen Wiig? And then, Lifeguard, the, Kristen Bell movie where she goes home and has to settle up on some things.
Okay. Were you guessing that Jennifer Lawrence is a lifeguard because she's in a bathing suit in one scene in this movie, in this trailer?
I didn't guess that, but, okay. But I mean, what it would be as valid as any other thing, guessing.
There
in this
you
trailer,
go.
Right?
It works. Absolutely. I went with Lost in Translation. I kind of got the idea that they're both going through something like, you know, it's like a grief type thing, you know, there's some kind of loss or something. And so I just thought of these two people kind of helping each other through this hard time. And that's really the only thing I wrote down. I had written down like, you know, a movie about two people trying to, you know, help each other through a difficult time. Like, that's kind of the main thing I got out of this trailer, and I didn't really think of a second.
You know, if you Google that phrase, you can look up various options.
You know, here's the thing. I'm getting ready to leave town.
You don't have time,
Jason,
to Google.
And I don't have time for this.
Oh, okay, cool. That's why I said you're busy. Yeah,
I knew you would pick up the slack with The Skeleton Twins and Lifeguard, so, you know, thank you. Next up, I know you love your holiday movies, I had to include some. You know?
I want to punch you in the dick for this one, though.
We've got Falling for Christmas. We'll be on Netflix November 10th with Awesome Movie Year alumni Lindsay Lohan returning for a Christmas movie. She's a rich hotel heiress who gets amnesia, and somehow she remembers she's rich, but that's about it. And that's where the humor comes from.
When the logic of the trailer can be taken apart within 2 minutes of watching a trailer, that's when you know the movie's going to be just a horse's, an elephant's asshole sized piece of crap, right? Because the first thing you see is all these paparazzi snapping pictures of her, right? And then she says, I want to be known for more than just being a hotel heiress, right? So she's already known. And she's already famous. So then she falls into fucking Christmas Fuckfaceville, and nobody there knows her. Even though she's famous worldwide, no one in Christmasville knows anything about her. And it's like, you, in your own trailer, you've already defied the logic of your movie. So how is your movie going to be any good? Fuck you. I'm going to punch Dave in the dick. Do you want pieces? I'll give you pieces if you want.
I just throw them out there. Why not?
Trading places because she goes from rich to, you know, working man, and every Hallmark movie, and then Memento because I'm sure this is going to be as innovative as.
Yeah, absolutely. I threw in her own, you know, crowd pleasing, family friendly movies, Parent Trap, Freaky Friday, that stuff. It's like she's trying to recapture some of that. But then I cheated here because I didn't mean to see this, but when I was watching the trailer, I had the comments, you know, underneath on YouTube, and somebody pointed out a puzzle piece for me, basically the film Overboard with Anna Faris, which I've never seen.
Why don't you say the film Overboard with Goldie Hawn, the original?
Well, you know, that's the one that the guy pointed out in the comments.
You stupid son of a bitch. Now I'm going to punch you in the dick and the face.
Let's get the hell away from this movie.
It's infuriatingly angersome, is it not?
Yeah, no, it looks terrible.
Anger-inducing, I should say, yeah.
Yeah. Our next movie looks good, though. It's James Gray's latest. It's called Armageddon Time. It'll be in theaters on November 11th. It stars Anthony Hopkins, Anne Hathaway, and Jeremy Strong. About a family who's trying to kind of live the American dream, and they're dealing with racism and classism and all the fun things about America. And James Gray has made some great movies, and this looks like it's going to be another one.
I mean, dude, Anne Hathaway, we know, track record of great acting. Anthony Hopkins, legend among legends, best actor win just a couple of years ago. But I'm mesmerized by Jeremy Strong right now between Succession and this, and like that dude, top of the game at the moment, right? So,
yeah. By the way, I know you've been trying to get me to watch Succession forever, and we finally did. We binged the whole thing just last month, and he's great. The show is great, of course, like you said.
It is. It's the best show on TV, easily.
So
this is one of those, and we're getting a lot of them this month, writer, director, personal pictures, right? So I'm going to take Licorice Pizza off the table before you get a chance to.
Sure.
Back to childhood. And then this idea, there's this whole thing, he's a kid. And he's friends with a black child, and he's not supposed to be. And that element of racism and who you're supposed to hang out with. I mean, there's a lot of movies like that. I went with the very underrated Not Fade Away by David Chase, which is more about, you know, I don't know if it necessarily touches on the racism as much, but like the idea of like you're supposed to go in the way your parents predicted you to go and not another way.
Yeah, no, that's a much better version. I threw Green Book on here, which, you know, that as far as race relations in America, hopefully this is a much better movie than that. But yeah, of course, you know, this does feel very personal. And there, like you said, there's so many of these like extremely personal movies from these filmmakers who have been around for a while doing so many things, and they all just kind of seem to be coming to this right now. You could do Licorice Pizza, you could do Belfast, you could do Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. I mean,
Roma, Roma,
any of those. So, yeah, James Gray, why not get one from James Gray?
How did you get Once Upon a Time in Hollywood?
Well, I mean, you know, that's Tarantino, just like maybe not personal, but like the things that he loves, you know, like going to the world that he loves so much and exploring that. So,
all right, I'll let it go because you're still hurting from the dick punch of earlier.
Yeah, I am. You're absolutely right. All right. How about another dick punch? Another.
This one doesn't look bad. This one looks okay.
This one looks all right. Okay. This is called Spirited. It will be in limited theaters on November 11th and then on Apple TV Plus on the 18th. And it is Ryan Reynolds and Will Ferrell doing basically an on-the-nose update of A Christmas Carol, complete with Ryan Reynolds-style humor. I don't know. Maybe I'm just Ryan Reynolds'd out, but...
And see, found him very warm and charming on Welcome to Wrexham, about him and Rob McElhenney buying the Wrexham Football Club in Wales, and Rob McElhenney. See, I can't pronounce it. Yeah. But anyway, that show's been one of the delightful sleepers for me this year. So this definitely is like, hey, Will Ferrell and Ryan Reynolds, here's the script, but just improvise the whole thing, right? You know? So,
sure.
But, you know, when you look at these kind of, and we've talked about it before, these kind of twisted Christmas comedies, like Scrooged is still the best of the bunch for me.
So
I put that in there. And then this idea of it's the ghost of Christmas present, but I kind of took it more as like a guardian angel. So I threw Dogma on the list. We haven't talked about that one in a while, Kevin.
Yeah, that's cool. I like that as a, you know, because it's obviously going to be, even though it's still a family film, it's still going to be a little more adult skewed than like a classic Christmas type movie. So yeah, I like that. That's a fun one to put on there. I threw on here a combination of Elf and Deadpool because you're getting, you know, the exact persona that you expect out of Will Ferrell and out of Ryan Reynolds. And so they're most like famous characters as far as like that kind of thing is concerned. And then I also kind of felt like this had a feeling of like all of these Disney live action remakes, like taking this, like this story that is just so completely beloved and ingrained in society and just making this new version of it when it just seems like almost impossible to do that. So, you know, hopefully this is more successful than those are. Well, then again, those are incredibly successful. Just
you mean better. Like them.
Right. Yeah, I mean better. So, yeah, I don't know. Maybe you're right. Hopefully that'll be good. I guess I'll watch it. Next up is She Said, November 18th in theaters. This is essentially the Me Too movie. It's about the writers who published the article that took down Harvey Weinstein and kicked off the whole movement. It stars Carey Mulligan, Zoe Kazan, also Patricia Clarkson, Samantha Morton, and Ashley Judd plays herself, apparently. What do you think about this?
Andre Brower, I already saw in there. You know, these movies either work very well or they just become so hamstrung by the procedure, right? Like we just talked about. So I don't know, man. Obviously, The Assistant dealt with this in a very effective and uncomfortable way, right?
Sure. Like,
that was a good movie there. And then if you're going to talk about movies of journalists trying to, you know, break the story that no one wants them to break and one that worked really well, I Spotlight.
Yeah, absolutely. Spotlight's on my list as well. The Assistant's a really interesting one to bring up because, like, I was thinking when I first saw this, I was like, doesn't it feel kind of too soon to, like, be telling the story? It's like not everything is played out exactly, you know, but The Assistant did it already and did it so well. So maybe the story is at a place where it's worth telling. The other one with Carey Mulligan's involvement, right. I thought A Promising Young Woman.
Sure.
Yeah.
You think Harvey Weinstein's like in jail, like, oh, I'm still in the movies, baby.
You know what? I'm sure he is, whether this movie's happening or not. I'm sure he's saying things like
yeah. You just don't know. These movies, like I said, like you just don't know. They either sizzle or fizzle, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Next up is Poker Face, which will be on VOD on November 22nd. Directed by and starring Russell Crowe. This one seemed like kind of messy from the trailer. I had a hard time putting together the synopsis. Like, he's a millionaire gambler who invites a bunch of people, a bunch of high rollers to his house to play a poker game. Then he poisons them, but then his house gets broken into during the game. Did all this happen or am I crazy?
I think so. And then they go into, you know, a safe room and then,
a safe room. Yeah.
Right. And then, you know, his daughter comes in and what's she doing there? Now they have to come out and like save her. If the guys on the big picture ever want to take a week off, maybe we could jump in and like do a Russell Crowe episode or something like that.
I'd be down.
Sure. Because like this guy was as good as any actor there was. Right. And then he just kind of took a sharp straight to streaming route very quickly. And why is that? What happened? Like, you know, he was in Thor this summer and that was a fun turn. And this is the one he chose to direct. So
it's weird. His last one was The Water Diviner in 2014. That's the only two things he's directed. Like, a very interesting career. And you're right. Like, he's back to theatrical here and then he's just away from theatrical. Like he hasn't done like a straight direction like a lot of these people do, like where they fall off and stay falling off. He just pops up and goes away and pops up and goes away.
I really don't think in like the early 2000s there was not, or late 90s, early 2000s, there wasn't a better actor around. He was killing
it so hard.
Yeah. So
yeah.
Rounders for the backroom poker, illicit poker game, panic room for the panic room.
Okay, there you go. Yeah, I had Rounders as well. Also, I put in Casino Royale, just poker and a whole lot of other shit happening, you know? So I figured to throw that in there. And then just for like the tech billionaire's house, I thought of Ex Machina. Just
sure.
You know, just kind of seems setting-wise anyway. So, yeah, I don't know. It'll be an interesting one. I kind of want to watch it, even though it looks like a mess. Next up, on November 23rd in theaters, it's Devotion, or as I like to call it, Top Gun Maverick 2. Jonathan Majors and Glenn Powell star in an aerial Navy fighter pilot movie set during the Korean War. Obviously, you know, joking about Maverick. I mean, that movie had been completed for years and delayed over and over again because of COVID. So, you know, I think it's safe to say there's comparisons that could be made there. But other than that, I don't know. It looks good. I'm surprised they seem to be doing like award type screenings for it and stuff like that. Like, I wonder if they're really going to try to position this that way.
Well, maybe when you and the other cucks in the Las Vegas Film Critics Society see it, you can let me know what's going on. But I don't know. It does not look good to me, you know?
Yeah.
Like, they're like from the Forgotten War. And I'm like, do people not remember or not, you know, we know the Korean War was a thing, right? So
yeah,
I don't know. This whole idea, it just feels like a lot of paint by numbers, like, you know, minority military man has to overcome prevailing views, which are not cool, right? That's Men of Honor, Cuba Gooding Jr., I think, right? And then there was a whole that movie Red Tails, which was all about you know, a black division of pirates, pilots. We should have a movie,
a black pirate movie. Yeah, I'd watch that.
Yeah, there you go. And I don't mean like Captain Phillips. I mean like Captain Hook. You know what I mean?
Yes, so, absolutely.
But yeah, I don't know. This one did not look good to me at all.
Yeah, I mean, I really like both of those actors,
right?
But you know, it looks derivative, and but I had the exact same puzzle pieces, by the way, as you. Men of Honor, Red Tails, yeah, the exact same thing. Yeah, I don't know, and it's just so weird. It's, you know, coming off the heels of Maverick to like have another movie that looks so similar, but I guess we'll see when it comes out. Our last one of our main movies we're going to talk about for the month. There's so many movies this month, but Bones and All, it'll be out on the 24th in theaters. It's Luca Guadagnino's reunion with Timothy Chalamet after Call Me By Your Name, of course, and Luca's first film since 2018's Suspiria remake. It's about two cannibals who fall in love and looks kind of insane. I don't really know what to make of it, but I know it's like a big end of year film.
Right.
It also stars Mark Rylance, who I know they've been pushing for awards consideration. Michael Stahlberg, Chloe Sevigny, Andre Holland, a lot of people. Yeah, what do you think about this one?
Yeah, in this trailer, they don't tell you that they're cannibals at all, right?
Right,
you
know? They just, so it's like
gloss over that major plot point for marketing purposes. But this is the year of cannibal entertainment, I guess, with this and Dahmer, right? So
yeah, sure.
But I don't know. Is it, I don't know. I really don't know. Like, this is going to be good. I just watched Cat People, and did you ever see that?
I've never seen it.
Paul Schrader movie, and there were just elements of that where you're seeing like blood spurt from the mouth of these people who ate other people, that reminded me of it. And again, we come back to Natural Born Killers or Bonnie and Clyde, this kind of criminals in love on the run.
Yeah, absolutely. I had Natural Born Killers as well. I also had The Road. And then I've never actually seen it, but I've heard a lot of people make this comparison. Terrence Malick's Badlands. Which people say it's you have to have seen it before you watch this, so I plan on doing that.
We should watch it. Yeah,
let's do it. So I know we have a lot of other movies in November that
watched 25 trailers for preparation for this episode, Dave.
You did a great job, Jason. I'm very happy about that. Let's just speed through. You could let me know. I didn't watch all of the trailers. Some of them I did. Enola Holmes 2, November 4th, Netflix.
First Enola Holmes was really fun. This one looks like we're pushing a little too hard of like, I'm a female detective, so no one will hire me. Elements of Cruella, the TV show Home Before Dark. And then I put the Nicole Kidman movie Destroyer, which was really great in the dark.
Sure,
but I'll watch this one. I'll watch this one.
Weird, the Al Yankovic story, which your awesome movie, your co-host and I will be covering. We'll be recording an episode tomorrow on, actually. I've already seen it, and I'll save my thoughts.
No, but, just tell me. Is it good?
It's fun. If you watch the trailer, like the fake trailer from 7 years ago that the director made, it's basically that for a whole movie.
Well, I watched the real trailer from this year, and Daniel Radcliffe looks good. You know, we have all of these like obvious choices, Bohemian Rhapsody, Rocket Man. But I thought this leaned more a little towards like Man on the Moon, the Jim Carrey, Andy Kaufman, Milos Forman movie because of the performance art aspect. And then that kind of early 80s, like, what do I want to do with my life? I put Everybody Wants Some.
Yeah, that's a fun one. Yeah. That's a cool piece. Black Panther, Wakanda Forever, of course, is going to be like the big movie of the month. And I'm sure we'll cover it on the show. That's why I left it off of our main 10. But I think it's a great trailer, even if Marvel has been kind of on a downward trend these past few movies.
Right. It has, although the TV shows have been pretty good, right? So yeah, sure. Who knows? You know, again, a lot of, I mean, it looks like they're really treating it with reverence. We've seen characters die in like Avengers Endgame. But obviously never an actor who plays the character. So, you know, it seems like they're really going all in to like honor Chadwick Boseman there. And then there's this whole kind of seafaring Aquaman thing, which was like, hey, that's DC.
Yeah, well, we got Avatar to talk about too next month, so you know, RIPD2, Rise of the Damned, which I can't even believe is a thing.
Yeah, who wanted this?
Very strange.
I put Wild Wild West because that's how bad it looks, and I put Jingle All the Way too because I looked up trailers that went straight to video.
There you go. Strange World, which I'm actually looking forward to, even though the trailer I don't think worked as well as I was hoping, but I just love the idea of it, like a Disney movie that like goes into like a weird kind of sci-fi world. I think just sounds good.
Oh yeah, like Lightyear.
Yeah,
I mean, Lightyear. This looks like the beats of Lightyear. I also put Don't Look Up for the environmental situation, and then Ad Astra for like, hey, my dad's lost in space and now we found him.
Yeah, yeah, those are actually great pieces for it. The Fablemans, of course, Spielberg's new movie, which I absolutely can't wait for. I mean, who can wait for it?
Oh, Kanye can wait for it because he hates Jews.
Topical. Good job, Jason.
Cinema Paradiso and Hugo were the ones I put about like the love of cinema. But then what was so interesting is like there's this part like, what's the movie you're going to make? And they show him making a movie as a kid. And it reminded me of those kids who remade Raiders of the Lost Ark, shot, right? And there's that documentary, Raiders, the story of the greatest fan film ever made, which, of course, Spielberg, you know, heavily influenced there and everything like that. So it's like art eating life, eating art.
There you go. That's awesome when that happens. It's always fun and makes for difficult conversations on piecing it together. Next up is Disenchanted, which I never actually saw Enchanted.
Enchanted's fun. We watched it recently, you know, and it's good. I don't think it needed a sequel, and this doesn't look like it's going to be good. But maybe, I mean, Enchanted's the movie that really broke Amy Adams big, and she's really good. And you know, this whole idea of like, oh, now everything's good, so we're moving to the country, and I want it to be a fairy tale. Is like, you know, she makes a wish, it doesn't go well, hocus pocus, move into the country, crazy things happen, Beetlejuice, and then the Disneyfication elements with the big musical numbers, Mary Poppins. I don't know, whatever, leave me alone.
I feel like Jason's doing my homework for me. I'm going to just refer to this whole little speed round if I end up covering any of these movies.
Yeah.
The Independent, which, by the way, I didn't write down her name, but the director, it's her first feature, but she directed the behind-the-scenes documentary of Wet Hot American Summer.
Woo, that's exciting.
How random is that?
Yeah, I could find was a scene from the movie where, so I don't even know exactly what it is, what the movie is, except that it takes place seemingly in the election of 2016, maybe, and a reporter uncovers some stuff that could help sway the election. But Brian Cox, who's still at the top of his game, is the publisher who's like, well, you didn't get this the right way, so we can't go with it. And the scene looked good to me. So, you know, another one of these newspaper movies that could go either way, I guess.
Yeah, for sure. Roald Dahl's Matilda the Musical. I didn't even know this was a thing.
It's
going to
be great.
Is this on Disney or what is it?
It's going to be on Netflix.
Netflix.
This summer, Scarlett and I saw the play, the live version of this at Super Summer Theater. This was on Broadway and, you know, it was toured. And, you know, it's definitely, you know, Matilda, James the Giant Peach definitely have these kids who are mistreated. But then you could also throw in like an Annie type thing because they're held down by like adults in power positions. And then there's a whole, you know, any of these Broadway movies that have become Broadway shows that have become movies lately. But it feels whimsical, like Pee-wee's Big Adventure also. This is going to be awesome, I think.
Awesome. Does Bar Fight feel whimsical?
Bar Fight feels like it's a fun, stupid comedy, right? This couple breaks up and they both claim their favorite bar as the one that they get to go to. And the only way they settle it is by competing against each other in a bunch of bar related games.
That's a fun setup.
It seems like, you know what, dude, if there's like a rainy day or like I'm just tired and I want to just watch something for an hour and a half, this could be fun. The Breakup I Still Love is an underrated movie, and Beer Fest were my two on this one.
Nice. A Christmas Story Christmas. Is that a real movie?
Yeah, man. What are you talking about?
Where are you finding these?
You don't know that A Christmas Story is coming back with Ralphie as an adult?
I haven't heard about any of this.
Dude, you're just...
It's too many movies.
Punched in the dick so much.
I get to 10, and then I like throw on maybe another 5, and then I'm like, all right, done. I can move on to other things.
So any, you know, 8-Bit Christmas, which was so reverential to the 80s last year, I put down. And then you could take any movie that had a sequel 30 years later or whatever. You know,
sure.
You mentioned Maverick. I put Wall Street in my Big Fat Greek Wedding.
The Menu, I don't know how I missed when I was making my list, actually, because that is like one of the bigger movies of the month. Yeah, this is going to be like a big one, I think.
It could
be really good.
Yeah, Chef, obviously, because it's the idea of a chef who's so in love with his own work, his own cooking. Bergman Island for the strange setting, and then The Hunt, because I think they're going to hunt people in this one.
That's, I think, what's going to happen, yes. The People We Hate at the Wedding. I did not get to this trailer. What's this one about?
This looks terrible, Dave. It's like one of these kind of like, hey, I mean, it's based on a novel, and it's like, we're all going to England for our half-sister's wedding, and then we become the assholes at the wedding, and there's that whole like Curtisville situation, it feels like, you know, where it's like just a bunch of people at a wedding who have to like get their shit together, you know. So you can put My Best Friend's Wedding, and then I think maybe like the way it's told, there might have like a hangover element where they have to piece stuff together.
Okay.
Piecing it to, okay, whatever.
I like when that happens. The next one I'm really looking forward to. This sounds insane. I didn't actually watch the trailer. I feel like I don't need to. Like it's already gotten so much raves. Like I'm really just looking forward to seeing it already. It's called Io.
It's
about a donkey.
Yeah, it's about a donkey who gets I think shipped off somewhere, but then breaks free and like roams the countryside in many countries, or at least Italy and maybe Poland. It looks beautiful. It looks awesome. It won the jury prize at Cannes, right? And or maybe the audience prize. I'm excited for this one too, man. You know, it's got elements of Babe, maybe more Babe Pig in the City because it's that out of place type thing.
Sure.
And Dumbo, of course. But this looks like the one to recommend maybe for the month.
Maybe me and you will cover that one on the on a full episode. That could be fun. The last one we have on our list is There, which is another one I hadn't heard about, but I'm seeing Jason Schwartzman's in it.
Yeah, it's got a lot of pretty well-known actors. I think this must have been a pandemic movie where they're all on like Zoom figuring out their love lives together. So like imagine Love Actually on a Zoom type thing. And then I put Stage, the Michael Sheen, David, what's his last name show? David Tennant. The Michael
David
Sheen,
Tennant.
David Tennant
there you
show.
Go.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Right on. I'm seeing here when I Googled it, the first article is from The Wrap, and it says it's as unapproachable as Harmony Korine's Trash Humpers or David Lynch's Inland Empire. So that sounds fun.
Yeah, that's that does sound good. Let's go with that then. So
nice. Well, that does it for November. So many movies to watch. Jason, is there a movie you watched recently you want to recommend to our listeners?
Yes, Dave, and I know you've already done it, but I finally got around to seeing The Unbearable Weight of Massive Talent, Nicolas Cage movie, and it is, as you said, about as much fun as you can have watching a movie.
Yeah, absolute blast. Really great. Jason, what is going on with Awesome Movie Year and everything else you're up to?
Dave, it's we're in the middle of the holiday movies, which if it was up to me, we would just do 3 months of them. But, you know, Uncle Scrooge Josh over there says we have to go to a new season, which is fine. I'm excited about it. We're going from Halloween movies to 1953. So it's the season furthest back in film history for us. We're learning a lot. We're watching some good things, some not so good things, but it's all good. So that's what we're doing on Awesome Movie Year. As you know, you can find us at Awesome Movie Year on all the socials, Awesome Movie Pod on Twitter, awesomemovieyear.com. And I'm at Go for Jason on Letterboxd. I have a website, Go for Jason, that's not worth anything. I don't even think it works anymore. Recently, you told me it hosts our website. I'm like, well, then that's doing something because it doesn't host mine right now. But I'm at Jason Harris Comedy or J. Harris Comedy on all the stuff. Eat This Comedy is my new venture where we team up with restaurants, curate a special menu, and then you, for one ticket price, you get the dinner and a show type thing. We're doing one November 13th at Honey Salt. If you want to buy tickets, just go on the Honey Salt website. And then the trivia party. We got two residencies on the strip right now. Losers on Monday, Doghouse on Thursday. I'm busy. I'm tired. Let me go to sleep.
Yeah, you just blazed through those plugs. So that was a great job. Jason, as always, thank you for being here, and I look forward to next time.
Dave, I have to start watching trailers right now. There's a lot of movies coming out in December.
I'm Josh Bell.
And I'm Jason Harris, and we co-host a podcast called Awesome Movie Year.
Each season, we take a look back at an awesome year for movies, which is every year.
We deep dive into these specific years, and we pick out why they were such great years for films. We go over the biggest hits, the biggest flops, the best picture, some personal picks, some cult classics.
Years we've covered in past seasons include 1994, 2003, 1977, and 1984, and we've got all of film history to look forward to. So check us out at awesomemovieyear.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.
All right, so I hope you enjoyed that conversation about some of the movies coming out in November. Thanks, as always, to Jason Harris for joining me on those trailer episodes, and thank you to you for listening. If you enjoy what we do here on Piecing It Together, make sure you're subscribed and drop us a 5-star rating and review. That would be nice. You could also follow us on social media at Piecing Pod. Join our Facebook group, Popcorn and Puzzle Pieces, where we continue the conversation about all the movies we talk about here on the show. And where me and Jason are planning to hopefully start some trivia nights soon. And also, I told you about the Patreon at the top of the show, the Produced by David Rosen Patreon, with lots of bonus and advanced content. Check it out, patreon.com/bydavidrosen. So, yeah, I've got the new album coming out, more content, and why don't I play a song from it right now to close out this episode? This is a track called Power. Hope you enjoy it. I will be back with more Piecing It Together coming up later this week. We'll be right back.
an All Points West production, produced by David Rosen in Las Vegas.